Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Water Tower Podcast, first practice edition for what's to come. You're looking for a good show to listen to. This is it. We are your hosts. My name is Nick Milan, and this is Jay Yoder. Say hi, Jay.
Hi, everybody.
All right. And so today's topic is the COVID-19 coronavirus pandemic going through. It's affecting everyone in the world, literally everyone in the world. More than others. How's it affecting you, Jay? What's going on in your world?
I mean, it's made me really bored, which is funny because I was kind of like a homebody anyways, but like, I do feel like knowing the fact I can't go out, and I've also realized I did go out a lot, I'm kind of bored. But as far as work, I'm very lucky. I was working remote anyways, so that has not changed. But like not having a backyard or like a little patio, we have a pretty big house, but not having like a little outdoor area has been kind of hard.
Yeah, it's bad. But you have that little bistro area.
We do, but like my neighbor gets, like I went out there and my neighbor like saw me through the fence and was like acting all weird. And it's just like, it's not that private. Like people see through the fence. It's just stupid. We bought some stuff to cover it up and we're going to try to hook it up as soon as possible.
Right. You have one of those fences with the big gaps.
Dude, it's like a weird ass fence. It's like, I can't even explain it, but it's, you can definitely see through it. How about yourself? Yeah,
so, shoot, man, it's, I guess kind of the same, you know. I'm getting bored now, but, you know, when we first got the lockdown orders, it felt good just to do nothing, you know, just to hang out at the house and, and really a silver lining is really just getting stuff done. You know, that you know, of course, we got a honey-do list, and soon you'll be there too, Jay. But, you know, I got a honey-do list. You know, the wife wants a bunch of shit done. I want a bunch of shit done. And, dude, been checking that fucking list off every day, man. Planted some flowers, put some papers in, you know, doing the yard, taking the dog for walks, going on bike rides with the kids, playing more Nintendo with the kids, playing board games. You know, it just seems like, dude, this is how we should be living. You know, going to work, fucking sleeping away to pay bills every day.
Someone on Twitter, I forget who it was, I saw a shared post, but it was like talking about like this is going to help us remember what's important, like family and all this stuff. But how have your kids handled it?
Yeah, right. Great question. You know what? Actually, I just read an article first before I say it. I read an article and it was talking about how kids are kind of lashing out and that kind of stuff. But the article was about privileged kids, right? Kids that, you know, are privileged enough to have things and go places every day and go on vacations and fucking go to France for spring break and shit like that, you know? Yeah. And so these are the kids that are lashing out. Dude, my kids, dude, it's like we're on summer vacation. Like they're chill, man. You know, they're not stressing about it. I don't watch news. I mean, we have three TVs in the house, and the news is never on any of them. But, you know, the way I get my news is I listen to it on the radio. I get it on my phone, and then I just share it with them, you know, what's going on in the world, what's going on here in SAC. And so they know what's going on, but we don't watch it to the point where it's just creating fear, you know. So they're not worried about, I mean, they are worried about it. You know, I was talking to my daughter today and she's saying that she missed her friends and she missed her teachers and, you know, so they're feeling it, but they're not all crazed about it. You know, they're not stressed. They're not, you know, thinking the world's going to collapse. You know, they're just like, we're just chilling, man, making cakes and, you know, I don't know. It's kind of interesting, you know?
Yeah, being new to a city, it's been a little rough because, like, we don't know a lot of people. But not like we can see them anyways, but, like, it's just me and Gina. Like, there's nobody else. So sometimes it's, it's rough on both of us. But it's, you know, because we're so far away from anybody. So, like, no one rolls by or nothing. And you can't really anyways. But it's sometimes I wonder if having kids would be a nice buffer or would it be worse?
Well, it's about timing and age. But, you know, that's interesting. So, I mean, that's basically, that's getting ready for, that's getting you ready for the rest of your life, man, pretty much, you know, because you guys just moved in together. You know, you're living in a whole other city. And
well, yeah, and we just moved in together, so we were living separate, moved in together, but now we kind of been like go to the gym, or like we're just like bam, get ready for that that lifestyle.
Well, if this is not the ultimate test for you, I don't know what is.
Yeah, they say traveling is ultimate test. No, the epidemic is the ultimate.
Yeah, right.
You know, super chill, so I'm lucky there. I'm the crazy one, but
dude. Yeah,
A lot of walks. I wish I had a dog. I really wish I had a dog. That would make things better, I feel. But,
I bet a lot of your neighbors have dogs.
I see a lot of dogs walking by, but I don't know if I see my neighbors walking dogs. But I know one has one, but he never walks it. It just stays in the backyard.
Fucking asshole. All
right. He's a cool dude. But,
other than that. Yeah, it's interesting, man. You know what? And I know your mom works for an old folks home, right?
I'm sorry? I kind of broke up.
Yeah, I know, dude. Your mom works for like an old folks home?
Oh, dude. I think last time we talked, yeah, my mom works for an old folks home, and she's worked at a bunch around where she lives. She's been pretty successful through it. And the last one she worked at, she was having, you know, they had 16 cases a couple weeks ago when I talked to her.
Oh, shit.
And she was telling me that her place had zero cases.
Both in the same
city? Well, that place was, no, one's, they're like 10 minutes apart, the city, the towns. But I don't want to say the name, but it went from 16 to like 46 as of 2 days ago.
Holy fuck. Like,
we still have zero. Like, I don't know if they're, like, what they're doing, but, like, we're locking things down. We're, like, taking everyone's temperature and, like, putting stuff over the door. Like, we're going crazy. And I guess in Tulare County, they have somewhere around 146 and – or 50, 150 or something around that number, and 46 of them are from that one place.
Wow, dude, that's fucking incredible.
Kind of shows you, like, who's the leader of the ship, you know? Like, what's – I don't know. Or is it just luck? Like, they got one person that had it, and it just – the other place looked out that they didn't have it. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I guess, I mean, automatically I would point to not luck. I would say that facility is not taking proper precautions.
Yeah, that's more likely.
You know, but it could very well be luck, you know, or the lack thereof, you know, or just bad luck, right? I mean, you're right, because if one person got it there, I mean, fucking, we know how fast this spreads.
Yeah.
So maybe, I mean, it would just take one to really devastate a fucking facility like that.
Yeah, it's crazy. And just like hearing a lot of sad stories about family members because they can't see them. And they're like leaving gifts at the door and looking through the windows and like crying. And a bunch of the community's been awesome. They've been bringing supplies for the nurses and little notes and stuff like that. But some of the stories are pretty sad about like the family members saying goodbye. And if someone dies, which I guess someone did, the family can only go in one at a time. So if the person dies and you don't get in line quick enough or you're behind, you might not see that person. So, because the whole group can't go in.
Right, right. Well, dude, speaking of, I actually, we have some discussion about, you know, what's going on in the world. And we might as well get into that because, you know, that's one of the things that I you know, doing a lot of research today and yesterday is, dude, that's fucking devastating, man. You know, if you know, let's just provide a circumstance, right? Your father has COVID-19. He's in the hospital. He's dying. You know, the stories I read, some of them didn't even let family members go in at all. You know, so there was a nurse that had an iPad in a plastic baggie over the dying person's face, you know, and then their family members are Zoom conferencing to their dying father, man. You know, like, not only can you not give him a hug and a kiss, but you can't even fucking see him physically, man.
They had an iPad with like plastic around it. That's fucking nuts.
Yeah, what a trip, man. And then another story that I read was, you know, like you said, only one person could go in and see him. But not at a time. It was just one person total. So, like, I think it was a mother with, like, six kids. And so the six kids met in the parking lot. And, of course, they're 6 feet apart from each other because they're coming from all different cities, you know. And then they basically elect one of the siblings to go in there in hazmat up, you know, I mean, suit, face mask, two N95 masks, the shield, you know, the whole body cover. And so, you know, that one sibling was able to go in and talk to the mother, but still couldn't hug her, couldn't kiss her, basically just relay the messages from the siblings. I mean, just devastating, man. I mean, I couldn't even imagine. You know what? Because it doesn't affect me, I don't know stuff like that. You know, the only way I even know is just reading up on this shit. But, fuck, I can't even imagine, Jay.
Well, I remember we're sitting in your little man cave. Like, how long was that? 6 weeks ago? 5 weeks? 4 weeks ago? I don't know. And you were like, dude, this is getting crazy. We're making sprays on this. And I'm like, nah. And I was like, yeah, it's about time. And I was like joking around. But now it's like, there's a part of me that's like, shit's real. And there's a part of me like, is it real? You know, like I keep jumping back and forth and I'm stubborn as a motherfucker. But it's like, I told you, like, until I know people that have gotten it and died, it's hard to believe, which sounds sick. But, or if I know people that have gotten it, and we've gotten to the point where we, like, our outer circles have some people have gotten it. My Xbox boss has it. He was on a cruise ship. He's been, but then you're here, you know, it's getting realer and realer every day. I mean, it's real. It's getting more serious every day. Like, when do I panic?
Dude, right. Well, the idea is not to panic, right? But, I remember that conversation just like it was yesterday, man. And we were both talking about how, is it real? You know, what is this? You know, how serious do we take this? And, yeah, actually, that very day, it was about a month ago. And, it had to have been before a month ago because it was like a week after, like, the administration of the U.S. came out and said, you know, this may be a problem or you know. And so I actually told my wife, I told Rosie, you know, hey, we should probably go out and buy stuff, you know, at least stock up on some water and some canned foods. And, you know, you never know, right? And so when she went out, she actually went to go buy a sanitizer, and there was nothing. It was already sold out everywhere. And so she had bought some alcohol and some aloe vera, and then just made her our own concoction of sanitizer. But, dude, look at that. A month ago, Jay. That's how fast it happened.
Well, we also talked about this before, that's what really freaks me out is, you know, say it's a good thing or a bad thing. It's a good thing now, I guess. But like, I never thought the world was this coordinated to shut down this fast, even though some people are claiming it's too slow, but maybe some areas, but overall it was pretty fast. And, you know, my dad's in the Caribbean on a sailboat on some island, and I thought he was the freest motherfucker ever, but nah, the world is it's a small world after all, you know?
Dude, talk about that, man. I mean, what's happened? I mean, first of all, let our listeners know what's going on with your dad and why he's stranded on an island. And I mean, I bet you that was random as hell, but yeah, talk about that. What's going on, man?
Well, my dad, can you hear me?
Yeah.
My dad, are you smoking?
I am.
All right, I was waiting. All right. Well, my dad, you know, not a rich guy, factory worker, you know, fifth grade education, and did his thing, and, you know, through a bunch of divorces, always paying child support, you know, just going through the ringer, and he got the house during he saves his money. He didn't do much back in the day. He just saved his money. And I always tell him, like, you're kind of boring. But anyways, long story short, the 2008 hit, he bought a house for super cheap. Was living in a trailer, bought a house. Been in a trailer for years after a divorce. And nice big house, but he never dated or remarried. Dated a little bit, but never remarried. And we started watching these selling videos on YouTube that my brother got us on. And he just got bored in this big empty house in Tulare County, which isn't the most exciting place. And he just, like, watched those videos, got inspired. And me and John would be like, my brother, we're going to buy a sailboat. My dad actually did it. Sold his house, got a profit. Not much, but got a profit and enough to buy a boat and sold all his possessions and just drove to Florida, jumped on a boat, not knowing how to sail. And my brother joined in, and they've been selling the last year and a half, 2 years. And anyway, so he's been a free bird. And, well, I forget what island he's at, somewhere outside of Granada, but they locked him down to buy groceries. He can't even leave your boat, or they'll confiscate the boat, apparently. And if he has to have cash. Luckily, my aunt was visiting and accidentally left a bunch of cash on the boat for him. And he has to have cash to buy groceries from the police, and they deliver it to you. And there's corruption in those type of islands sometimes. So you just got to kind of hope they take care of you righteously, but you never know. Yeah, so he's stranded.
So where is he at exactly?
I don't know exactly, because he kept jumping back from island to island, but he's somewhere near Grenada or in Grenada, but I think right outside of it. And he's basically stuck there, and I don't know what's going to happen when his visitor visa runs out. He's going to get usually 90 days for a visitor visa. And he's like, I'm going to sail off to Colombia. And I'm like, yeah, those waters are kind of shady for pirating anyways, but I'm sure they're getting crazier now. And I'm like, well, they're not going to let you in Colombia on the visa. It's COVID-19, so they're going to send you back, and they're going to be like, nah, you left. You know, so, like, stay as long as you can, unless they threaten to take your boat and then take off and try to get to America, because they have to accept you eventually, right?
But, wow, dude. So, damn, that's Pirates of the Caribbean shit.
You gotta watch pirate videos. Like, the sailing life is a life, man. I hope I get there one day, but it truly is living. It truly is living life.
Well, dude, I've seen videos of your dad sailing and John. Fuck yeah, dude. I've always wanted to do that too, man. That's definitely a dream of mine for sure.
I never thought it'd be fun. I went on semester at sea at the University of Virginia. It was like a big cruise ship around the world, and it was cool. And then I remember my friends were talking about sailing. Oh, you got to sail if you like this. And I was like, ah, sail though, like old. It sounds like work and like scrubbing, and it doesn't sound like vacation to me. But after watching those videos, I thought it was like a rich guy thing. And I mean, it definitely is a rich guy thing, but there's poor dudes doing it, and they're going around the world like broke. And Chasing Bubbles is a great documentary. SVD also, they had a little bit of money to start. Great. Few of them out there. And some of them have nice boats, some of them have boats that fall apart all the time, but it's a lifestyle for sure.
Dude, fuck yeah, man. And if you're gonna do it, that's how you gotta do it, man. Sell your fucking shit, sell all your belongings, and just go, you know?
My dad's not that guy. He's a safety guy. That's why he's always got a little savings, you know? Never made much money, but he's a testament. He's been doing it for 2 years. And he said, you know, I remember he was stuck in Florida because his boat kept breaking down. He's like, I just got to do this before I die. I just hope I don't die because I'm ready to do this. I waited too long. I was like, damn.
Right.
It's the most fun he's ever had. He never had a big social group. He's hanging out with people every night, having the time of his life, never traveled. And he's selling. He didn't know how to sell. his YouTube videos really. And, oh, the funny thing, Nick, the best thing about this, my brother who shared these YouTube videos, it was called SV Delos. And they've been going for about 8-10 years or something. And in fact, they just had a kid on the boat. Like, they're raising the kid on the boat. It's a baby.
Oh, wow.
And they're in the Bahamas right now. But they've been all around the world. And they were the ones that inspired us, which inspired my dad to do this. They happened to be in a harbor, one of these islands of the Caribbean, and they fucking saw their boat.
Oh, shit.
You know how rare that is? Like, out of the whole world? They ran past with the people that inspire them. So my brother was like, fuck. He saw their logo. They have a Buddha logo holding the boat. And my dad jumped in the boat, went right over with beers. And they brought him on the boat. And then my brother called me. Like, cool. It was really cool that he thought of me. He called me and let me talk to one of them. You know, it was just like, and they got pictures. There's just like a feel good, inspiring goals. Like, it was just beautiful. It was 100% beauty.
Dude, that's fucking badass. Where was that at?
I forget. Somewhere in the Caribbean. They went around the world. They went through Caribbean, and my dad was coming through Florida, and my brother through, like, I want to say it was Puerto Rico, but I'm not sure.
Wow, dude, that's fucking amazing.
Funny thing is, Puerto Rico has tons of ports around it. They just happen to be in the same one.
Dude, that's amazing.
It's awesome.
So you've gone on one of these trips with them, right?
Yeah, I went to Florida, but they wasn't sailing, and we were too scared to move the boat because we were around a bunch of other boats, and we're in this like little kind of like a river. The ocean kind of went in through Florida, and we were too nervous, and then just hung out and partied on the boat like losers, not even sailing, and the weather was horrible. And then they went sailing, and I had to go back to work, and then I met them in the Dominican Republic for about a week and a half, and we sailed about half the island. And that's when I really got to, like, actually learn how to sail, and it's dope as fuck, man. I didn't want to get off.
Wow.
I thought I would hate it. It's beautiful, man. It's the best way to live. It really is.
Oh, dude. That's fucking amazing. And how inspirational is that story? Fuck yeah. That's awesome.
I'm just glad to be a part. Like, I'm glad, you know, because if you'd asked me about my dad a few years ago, like 3 years ago, 4 years ago, I said, my dad likes to watch a lot of TV. So sit in his recliner and watch TV. You know, he's funny. You know, he likes to debate. But he likes TV shows and movies. Now if you ask me about my dad, I'm like, this motherfucker is selling like all around a bunch of different countries in the Caribbean, taught himself how to sell everything. Way better story. Way better story.
Dude, that's fucking awesome. And so John's still with them right now?
No, John moved back recently. He was supposed to go for like 3 months, and he ended up being on for like a year and a half. He was here long, like a hippie, and he's living back in Visalia now. Yeah.
So your dad's sailing on his own?
My brother just left, so I don't know how much sailing he's done since this quarantine happened,
But now he's stranded on some fucking random ass island.
He's not really stranded. He has to stay in the confinements of his boat. I don't know if he's docked or anchored. And usually you take a small boat, if you're anchored, a dinghy, in to get your groceries, your water, whatever. And then I don't know how they're working it out. I don't know if he's docked or anchored because he doesn't have a phone to get a hold of. But he's apparently can't leave the boat, and the police bring him the groceries for cash. So,
wow.
Fucking crazy, man. It made me worry. But I told him about 3 weeks ago, just sell to the U.S. right now. Take off right now. Hurricane season's coming too.
Oh, yeah, right.
September, October mainly, I think. So, fuck, man. It's shady business.
Holy shit, man. That's fucking crazy. And I wonder if he came to the U.S., what kind of fucking quarantine they're going to put him in before they even let him go into the general population.
But fuck it, at least you're American, you know? Like, these other countries are going to be like, fuck you, give me all your money, bitch, and your vote. You know? Like, they get crazy in some of those places. So if you're an American citizen, technically they have to take you back in. But even if he hits Florida, hurricanes hit Florida. So I don't know, Texas, even hurricanes hit Texas. So it's kind of that's why he wants to go to Colombia and just go through the Panama Canal. But I don't know if they're going to let him, man.
Dude. Yeah, what a trip, Jay. That's you know what? I mean, that makes me glad I'm at least quarantined in my house with my family, you know?
Yeah.
Because, man, imagine how lonely he is right now.
Yeah, and I don't know, like, it's not like the boat has a ton of storage for, like, groceries and, like, freezing stuff, so, and doesn't really have a barbecue. I think he might have a barbecue on the boat, but I don't know if he does. So he might have a small oven. So it's like kind of crazy. It's like,
probably eating out of a can.
Every time I talk to him, so I'm good. Don't worry, I'm good. And that's kind of part of the lifestyle. You're good no matter what, right? That's just
right. yeah.
Anyways, he said, so I think he's all right, but we'll see how this goes. But they just extended the date. They think this will last. Is that what I heard?
Yeah, LA just extended the stay-at-home orders till May 15th. So I would imagine that other cities are going to follow suit. San Francisco, Sacramento, you know, and then probably the rest of California. Who knows? I don't know.
Damn, that's like did you see I saw Joe Rogan posted it, the article about the LA mayor's like going to give rewards to people that snitch the...
I did see that.
That's what they're going to do. We're going to start turning on each other, man, and that's when it's dangerous.
Well, dude, isn't that how it starts, Jay? Right?
Yeah, there's this, I was trying to find it today to actually share with this, but I couldn't find it. It was like some old German article... some rich guy, maybe they mentioned it on a podcast. I think Joe Rogan, but he was early 1900s, and he was talking about how, like, rich people in power that live in, like, better than most people get these poorer people to fight for them. And he talked about farmers, and he kind of degraded the farmers, so he must have been higher up. He's like, oh, the lousy farmer just has a farm. If he goes, but he's content, but if he goes rest his life in war for our deeds, and he comes back, he just has a farm still. So why would he ever fight for us? And then he was talking about, well, the way to do it is create division within the community. Patriotism, or, hey, you're not standing 6 feet away. Hey, that person's not wearing a mask. Hey. And then right. The reward. Once you get that divide, people are forced to be patriotic with the government, and they will be down to go to war. Like, it was, I'm probably messing it up, but yeah, I'm like, you know what? I wear a mask when I go out, but I ain't going to hate on no one. Everyone, we don't know what's going on. Let's be honest. This shit's crazy. This shit's real. And as long as you ain't touching me or, like, coming up and, like, sitting on me or whatever, like, we're good. Like, I get it. You do you, I do me.
Yeah, right. I agree with that too, because I wear my mask. You know, like today I was out and I wore my mask too. I went to Save Mart, and you know, it's funny because half the workers at Save Mart aren't wearing masks. You know,
notice that.
So yeah, I mean, but you know, am I gonna look at them? Hey, fucking shame on you. You know, no, like, to each his own, man.
Those motherfuckers have to go to work, and like the nursing and doctor community as well. Like, they really are kind of like heroes. Like, they're like going to places knowing they might get it, and then when they go home, some of them. I saw one guy that had a tent in his garage. I don't know, some meme. I don't know if it's real, but distance himself from the family just in case too.
Right. Oh, like, dude. You know, my sister Darlene is. You know, she's. Works in a hospital, like as an LVN, you know, registered LVN. And dude, she's going through a lot of anxiety issues right now. You know, I mean, she's stressing out about exactly that, man. You know, I mean, she has exposure there, and they dedicated a whole floor to, you know, COVID-19 patients. And, you know, she's got 5 kids, man, you know, so. And actually, she has her mother-in-law living with them right now. She's, you know, 85, you know, close to 90 years old. So, dude. I mean, going home after working at a facility like that to 5 kids and an old lady, you know, not to mention her husband, of course, but oh my goodness, can't even imagine, man. They are heroes, bro.
It kind of reminds me of like, you know, everybody hates the cops now, but like back in September 11th, everyone loved the firemen and the cops.
Right.
It reminds me of that. And I'm like, watch, give it a few years. We'll start hating on them again. But like, it's they truly are putting their life at risk for their job.
Oh, dude, you know what? I even told the lady, I mean, both the people that I saw today, one was a lady at the meat counter. I got some meat from the meat counter. And then I told her, and then I told the register lady as well, like, you know, I just thank them, right? Just, hey, thank you for being here, man. Thank you for allowing us to, you know, the fact that you're here allows me to come and buy what I need, you know? And, you know, one of them was like really grateful and like, oh, I appreciate the sentiment, you know? And then another one was just like, yeah, fuck you, asshole. Good, you know, hurry up.
That would have been me. I gotta be here, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Okay, right.
But anyways, you know what made me, you know, I was reminded of 9/11 too when you were mentioning that, because, dude, remember 9/11? If you were at all questioning the motives of us going to war for terrorist attacks, like, you were unpatriotic. You did not love this country. You know, and that's kind of like what the snitches get stitches that Joe Rogan's talking about now. You know, it's like.
Well, we also, I do remember that. Like, I always said, like, usually my right and left-leaning politics-wise has always been, like, somewhere in the middle, but the world kind of shifts, so I kind of shift with it. And it was like, I felt, like, very left. And we grew up in a conservative area, Lindsay, California. you know, I lived in the Netherlands, very liberal. I live in San Francisco, and then we both live in Sacramento. Now, I would say a left-leaning city, I would assume. I'm not really sure. I haven't been here too long. But anyways, it's like, yeah, it's just kind of lost my train of thought. But it's crazy that, I don't know. I have no idea where I was going with that. I'm going to be honest, Nick.
Well, just I'm leaning it, you know, because again, at 9/11, which relates to what Joe Rogan's talking about snitching on your neighbor, it's like, people were calling people out, man. You know, if you at all said, hey, well, we shouldn't be going to war or question it at all, it's like, oh, you hate America. You're unpatriotic, you know?
Well, that's what I was going to say. We said, like, back in the – it just came back to me in September 11 times, like, everyone's patriotic. And if you weren't, it was a little scary. But do you think that's just where we grew up? Because it probably wasn't like that in San Francisco, right? Or do you think it was?
Huh, good question. Yeah, I mean, I would imagine not, you know. You know, because of how liberal they are there, but you know, if anything, if there was someone for the war there, they're probably the outcast.
Well, yeah, it was crazy because I feel like I was kind of going back to what I was saying before I went brain dead, but I feel like I was a liberal in the Central Valley, and I lived in San Francisco, I feel like a Republican. Mm. And like, it was weird. It was just like, well, is the world shifting or is it just the area? And I realized like, wow, people really do, we can talk about the news and everything else, but people really do live in different dimensions almost, like two different worlds, and they're in the same state. It's kind of it's bizarre.
Fuck yeah, it is. Oh, hell yeah. And California is a big fucking state, too.
It's really big, yeah, for sure. But yeah, it's always interesting to me with like how the news, let's go back to COVID, how the news is already, everyone's spinning their angles, you know? It's like.
Oh, totally.
Like, I was wondering, like, when are the politics going to get involved? And like, the first week it was kind of quiet. They were just like kind of confused. And then all of a sudden now it's like, he and she should have done this. And it's just like, there we go.
Oh yeah. Well, you know what? I read an article today with someone using COVID-19 as a political sway, but I fucking forgot what it was. But you know what? Also, you know what? I mean, just talking about the social aspect about all this and the people aspect is like, you know, when Trump got elected and it was like the women's march against Trump and, you know, all this not my president kind of stuff going around. I was living in a duplex and my neighbor was like this, you know, middle-aged white woman, you know, short hair, you know, she's liberal leaning. Right. And, but she looks like your typical white woman. Right. And so there was a thing where, I don't know if you remember this, surely you do. People were just looking at white people like, oh, you're a racist. You know, oh, you must be a Trump supporter, you know, just because they were white, you know?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Dude, and I know you remember that, man. And it was like they developed this thing, right? Because she came up to me actually one day and was like, "Hey, you know, people just keep on mugging me, you know, and like I'm some kind of Trump supporter. I hate Trump, you know, but you know, people don't see that when they look at me, you know, they think like I'm a Trump supporter or something." So, anyways, they developed this pin. Do you remember that? Like, if you put this safety pin on you, then that means you're like one of them, right? And then you can conversate with people, and that's how they know that you're one of them, right? But
okay. But
dude, we should never have to come to that, seriously.
No, because it's not a black and white world. It's a very gray, you know, there's a spectrum there, and I don't know.
But dude, people will turn on each other, man. I mean, it can get to that point very easily. I mean, shit, you see these old people getting trampled for toilet paper.
Dude, they do that just for, Black Friday? It's like Black Friday every day right now. That's what it is.
Oh, shit. Nice. Good analogy, Jay.
Not even after dead, like Tickle Me Elmo's, but after toilet paper. It's ridiculous. What have we succumbed to, my friend? But I don't know. Especially if we start going hungry, it'll get ugly, man.
Right.
Oh, hell yeah. Like, come on. You know what? You know what society is? Society is what it's like in prison. That's a little society experiment. My motherfuckers don't give a fuck.
Right. Well, and then, you know, but I guess the biggest difference is in prison, at least you could, you know, you have the weapon of unpredictability, right? Because in prison, you don't know what's going to happen. Shit can fucking, you know, this guy can do this, that guy can do that. You know, they could all gang up and cause this big old riot, but. Shit, out here, they know our every move. They know what we're shopping for. They know what we're going to buy. They know how often we buy it. You know, how often we're going to the store, how often we're in our cars. Fuck, they know everything about us.
Well, yeah, I don't know, but the thing about prison, it's like the most control you can have over someone is like you stay in that little room forever or for 20 years or whenever I say you get out. And then the inmates, you know, they're obviously not like, okay, let me serve my 10 years and have a good jolly time. They're like, some do, but I'm sure everyone gets a little like, fuck you, you know? And is that what's going to happen eventually? Like back to 9/11, TSA became a thing. And now you have to get to the airport early. Patriot Act was started. So like, will we have to wear masks forever? Will we have to check in if we leave the county or the state? Yeah, is it going to be more controlled? And obviously, that doesn't work until you wipe everyone out, right? Like, no inmate, not all the inmates are going to be the 100% perfect inmates. Some of them are going to be like, fuck you, you know? And I don't know. That's mean, so there you go.
Yeah, hey, that's interesting, though, man. You know what's funny is I saw a meme today on Instagram, or maybe it was Facebook, I don't know. And it was basically some animals in zoo enclosures, and they're like, now you know how these animals feel, you know?
Well, back to what you were saying, too, about, privileged kids. And, me and Gina were walking out earlier. I was like, it's just like we're all poor. Like, money's worthless.
Right.
We can't get the shit we need, and there's no money. We're all basically poor. This is probably a good equalizer for a little while.
Oh, shit, that's interesting, man. Totally interesting.
Like,
yeah, and you know what? I mean, it's like, in this article about that was like, it was mostly geared towards parents, right? How do you deal with a situation like this? You know, how do you gain control of your household? You know, if your kid's lashing out because he's home and you're home and everyone's home. And dude, seriously, like, dude, I'm in my garage. I'm in my shed doing shit. Rosie's doing shit. Kids are, you know, doing their thing. Like we're chill, dude. You know, like, dude, they're doing their thing. We're doing our thing. Sometimes we'll get together, play some Mario Kart, go on a bike ride or something, and then
separate.
Hey, but you know what, though? Okay, so this is going to go very good. Then it's going to go a little bad, and then it'll get good again. But so I seen this thing on Instagram a while back, too, and it was talking about the pandemic and the forcing of people inside is creating opportunities for wildlife. And so I seen this thing about Italy, like the canals in Italy had dolphins in them, like, you know, dolphins used to swim in them somewhat, you know, however long ago, and now they have dolphins, the resurgence of dolphins in there, and the water's clear, and it's like, you know, and then there was a picture of two elephants, like, laying down in, like, a field, and it's like, elephants are roaming to areas where they, you know. Well, anyway, so I tried to do research on that yesterday, you know, to get some stories and get some facts out there. Those are fucking fake, dude.
I was gonna say it sounds like bullshit. And there's a rainbow and a pot of gold and ants, you know. I was also kind of like pissed off. Like, hey, why are they like rubbing it in our faces? They're having a good time because we've been like,
yeah, right.
And another like, fuck you.
Well, that was disappointing, dude. It was totally fake. I mean, the waters, the canals in Italy are definitely clear. Like, you can see the bottoms, and when normally they're hella foggy. But there has been, like, in, like Welsh and like, Sweden and, like, other European countries, there's, like, goats roaming around the cities.
Like squirrels and stuff, right? Like, I heard some squirrels are in Central Park. I don't know. Maybe it's fake, but.
Yeah, actually, here, I'm gonna show you this this video. And, you know, crazy that the wildlife, you know, the story, you know, kind of ruined my hopes, but I didn't want to call it quits there, so I did a little more reading, and you know, there are animals that are coming back in the wild, and you know, not in big herds or not anything like that, but you know, deer roaming around the streets, and what other one did I see? Like in Sweden, there's like goats, you know, that have came out and roaming around the cities and stuff, but you know, there's some stories like that. But when I was searching through that stuff, there's an interesting one, and it's I think it's in India, dude. Monkeys? Oh no, Thailand. In Thailand, there's these macaque monkeys that feed off of tourism. I mean, they're a huge tourist city, and tourists feed these macaques. You know, and that's how these macaques survive. Really, they've changed their whole entire subsistence patterns to surviving off of scraps from tourists, which is, you know, already in itself a horrible thing. But anyhow, so they got so used to eating that way that they don't even know how to get their own food. And so now they're basically doing whatever they have to do to get the food. They're taking over cities. So interesting stuff, man. Just check out the video. It's a pretty cool video. You can go ahead and share that and so they can see that.
Yeah.
But this is like, man, Planet of the Apes, man. Check this out. You guys can see it. Super choppy.
It's pretty clear on my end, maybe, because I'm playing it.
Whoa, look at those on my end.
Look at that shit, man.
That's gonna be us in like 2 months.
Dude, that's Nate. No lie.
Sorry, I asked for toilet paper.
Dude, that's fucking nature right there, man. It's trying to survive. Fucking crazy, right?
Yeah, I don't know, man. That's scary.
Dude, and this is just macaques are, you know, they're pretty vicious creatures and they can do some damage to some people, but you know, at least they're not fucking huge creatures, you know. Imagine fucking lions and gorillas and shit running loose like that.
Yeah, you hear about those like those, have you ever seen those videos in India as well? Or I don't know if that was in India, but where there's like a leopard or a, maybe not a leopard, but a tiger that runs through like a neighborhood and they have to get it out.
Yeah, I think I've seen something like that.
Yeah, and there's like old stories of Indian lion hunters and it's nuts. Like they roll in and they jack some people up. And
dude, yeah, Shere Khan from the Jungle Book.
Dude, I'm more scared of humans than animals though, you know.
Oh fuck yeah, dude! We're the only species that kills another species for fun.
Well, yeah, and got some tension between China and America. The virus started in China. China's claiming that it could possibly be a soldier that brought it there. Wuhan also has the disease plant, some type of disease plant with Ebola and other such diseases. Trump is using the Chinese virus a lot. When they're calling him out, he's doubling down.
Right.
It's getting tense. And they're saying, you know, that, you know, 5 million people flew out of Wuhan before they did a full shutdown. And they apparently didn't screen them. So this could have been a lot of people with coronavirus. And they're saying if that 5 million people didn't leave the epicenter, that 95% of this spread would not have happened. So for some reason, they have 5 million people out. Maybe they just didn't get to it in time, but who knows? But the other interesting thing is that China claims to only have 3,336 deaths. Very kind of convenient number, but also, yeah, that's their claim. And they had a moment of silence, like a few days ago, I believe. And
hey, 3,000?
3,336 deaths. And
what the hell?
And their population is 1,386 billion, and they're saying the only confirmed cases they have was 81,000, right?
Okay.
Now compare this with America. America, the population of 327 million, which is a quarter of China's population. So China had 3,336 deaths. USA has had 18,631 deaths. It's crazy. So we have, you know, way more deaths than them with a quarter of their population. Now, China's been known not to release the most up-to-date information. And we don't either, obviously. And everyone wants to look good right now, especially the Trump campaign. Everything's always great and fine.
Right. He's got good ratings.
It's crazy that they're coming out that number, and then North Korea, zero.
Really?
I believe as of like 18 hours ago, zero cases from the article I read. And it was, they tested only 709 people, and none of them had it. And their population is 25 million. So South Korea next door has had 10,000 cases with 200 deaths. And South Korea has apparently done pretty well with it, I believe. But it's kind of funny because it's like, what if North Korea's isolation is kind of like the way to go? What if the whole world dies and they're just like, right. Oh, sweet. We won the world now. We won. We played the tortoise game. We played the long run and we won.
Nice. Dude, that
wasn't like it.
So how updated are those numbers? When did you pull like the amount of deaths in the U.S. and China?
I'm sorry, what?
How old are those numbers? Are they those recent numbers?
Yeah, I looked them up before this podcast. I was going to get all the resources. I have the tabs open, but like they're from I just Googled it, and then Google has like statistics you can look up by country, and leave like graphs and confirm recovered and deaths. And
yeah, right. Violence.
But it's nutty. So like maybe would North Korea get it? Like they're obviously 6 feet away.
Right. Well, and you know, I mean, what? And I don't think this is, you know, why, you know, or any kind of reason, but. Dude, they do wear a ton of masks over there all the time. Yeah, so, I mean, because they're
polluted. Well, there's not a lot of... Sorry?
No, it keeps cutting out. But go ahead.
Yeah. I was just going to say, they are an isolated country. They don't have a lot of flights going in and out. They do have some, but very few compared to all the other countries in the world. They did mostly with China and trade. Apparently, they shut down those trade systems, which, according to you know the international globe, that they don't deal with them for sanction reasons, but they do. It's like well known. And apparently, they shut down all those even small trade routes. So, is it possible they can never get it? But what does that mean for immunity?
Right.